Thessalonians chapter something, 5, chapter 5, verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. The last part of this letter here, 1 Thessalonians, there are several little instructions, and we're just going to look at this one in verse 15. It talks about revenge, and revenge is a normal response to people getting hurt. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, the Bible says this: "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Let's pray, and this morning we're going to talk about revenge. Father, thank you so much for, first of all, Lord, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if anybody here is not saved, that today would be the day of their salvation. They would trust Christ. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ, understand their sin before you, and that sin is going to be paid for one way or another. And I pray, Lord, they'd understand that Jesus Christ has already paid for their sin. Father, for those folks here that are saved, I pray we would get what we need from you. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say what you would like said and convey this verse the way you would like it preached. And I pray, Lord, that again, we would get fed from you, and everybody here would know they got fed from you. Lord, you'd minister to needs here, just multiplied multitudes of needs here that, Lord, are various, are different. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister to the folks here. Bless them for being here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." It's particularly applicable because the Thessalonians were being persecuted for trusting Jesus Christ. And when I say persecuted, I mean physically abused and thrown in jail, put in prison. And Paul says this to a group of people who are saved, who are trying to live right and being persecuted for living right, essentially. Now, there are various forms of persecution. This one is physical, and these guys were being put in jail in a short time. When Paul went up there to the Thessalonians, church got started, folks got saved. I mean, immediately people were being put in jail. So when Paul says this, when the Holy Spirit says this to the Thessalonians, it has particular application to a group of people who are really like, you know, we're getting beat up, we're getting thrown in jail, and our natural response is to fight back, to do something, to avenge ourselves, to, you know, that's what you do, that's what I do, that's our natural response when you get hurt, is to fight back or to try to hurt the person who hurt you. And so, it's a carnal response. There's nothing supernatural about it. It's normal. But what the instruction is as a Christian, you and I have got to check our emotions at the door sometimes. And not really sometimes. You can't make decisions based on your emotions. And so sometimes, you know, you get hurt in this situation, you get hurt, and the natural response is payback, is vengeance, is revenge, and all that stuff. But I want to show you, off of this verse, there are four times in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit of God deals with revenge, and I think it's a pretty pertinent topic. I mean, because everybody here gets hurt by things. And everyone here, including me, the natural response is to hurt back. I mean, the phrase is hurt people, hurt people. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, hurt people, hurt people. That's what our response is. But four times in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit describes a supernatural response to evil being put upon you, someone acting evil towards you, doing evil towards you. And he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and unto all men." So I'm going to show you a few verses in the New Testament, four of them, that describe what following good looks like in a case of revenge. What following, instead of acting on your carnal nature, instead of acting out in an emotional way where you want to fight back and get back at someone, there is a supernatural way to respond to that. And he shows you four times. I'm going to give you a story right real quick here before we look at these verses. There's a fella he's in Corpus now in a missions conference. He's a veteran of Vietnam. He was over in Vietnam. He had friends that were killed by Vietnamese. He killed Vietnamese in a war. And after a few, I mean, he was you know, like anybody in the war, I mean, he was mad at the Vietnamese, the ones he was fighting. Well, he got saved. And after he got saved, the Lord called him to go, guess where? Vietnam. Well, today, I thought about having him in, if we can have him in at some point. Today, he has housed, taken care of, and overseen an orphan program. At this point in time, today, he has about 800 orphans. He builds houses for them. They get into a church. He teaches them a trade. And over the years, he has so many stories about dealing with the Vietnamese. But he has gone to a people that he once was taught to hate. And he's gone back over there because the Lord turned his heart around and sent him back over there. And I mean, he is the most loving, caring father figure to hundreds of orphans in Vietnam. And now some of them have grown up now. I mean, he's been doing it so long now. They've grown up. They've got families of their own. They're starting church. They're part of churches. They're starting churches. They're pastors. They're congregation members. And he has become a father figure to many hundreds of Vietnamese children who are now grown and even still small. The point is, that verse, "See that none render evil for evil," is a supernatural description or a characteristic of something that supernaturally happens in somebody. Let me show you some verses. Look in Matthew chapter 5. And I just want to take you through the New Testament in these four verses and show you four aspects of revenge or vengeance. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You guys are probably familiar with this verse. The first point is this. I'll say this before I read these verses. Following good, or follow good, like Thessalonians said, follow good as a partaker of God's divine nature. I told you at the beginning, revenge is part of the normal course of action for people. It's not natural to not want revenge, but God's going to tell you something about that. Look in verse 43. "Ye have heard that this is Jesus Christ talking. "You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That's par for the course, you know. That's everybody. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what are you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So the first thing is, this is part of God's nature. Our nature is revenge, payback. God's nature is not that. And Jesus Christ is saying, I mean, it's pretty simple here. Everybody tells you, and you know the story, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's the way you do it. You try to figure out how to get the guy back. And that's the thing that makes you wise. If you can get him back, if you can be a little bit maybe passive aggressive, not let anybody know you're getting him back, and just that's everybody's nature, but that's not God's nature. God's nature is not to instill or to act on payback. His character, his behavior, his personality is not vengeful per se. It's not eventually he's going to judge, but that's not his nature to be a vengeful person. He even said in Ezekiel, he said, you know, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is not what I want to do. The point is, Jesus Christ telling some folks that are listening to him here, if you want to be a partaker of God's nature, then you don't respond the way everybody else responds. You don't respond to things with your carnal, with your emotional blow up. You don't respond that way. And I'll tell you, it'll protect you from a couple of things. You and I were born with payback in our blood. And people use that as an excuse. You know, I was born this way. Well, there's a lot of things you were born with that hopefully you grow out of. And some things people use that as an excuse. I was born this way. Well, if you were born a liar, that doesn't give you the right to just be a liar. Tell the truth. Grow up. The point is, you and I were born with that payback in our blood. But partaking of God's divine nature oftentimes is going to protect you from you. It'll keep your mind from dwelling on revenge. Have you ever? I know this has never happened to anybody. I'm the only one, so I'll tell you my story. Right? So you've been wronged. You've been wronged, and for hours you'll think about, man, I'm going to get that person. And you start plotting and you start thinking how I'm going to pay him back and how I'm going to get him. You know, if you don't respond that way, it'll save you hours of wasted thought on how I'm going to pay him back. How can I get, how? And you'll spend time up at night, you know, just thinking, consumed with vengeance. You know, that stuff will eat you up. That will eat you up from the inside. But if you partake, like Jesus Christ says, of a divine nature, it'll protect you. It will in some cases keep you healthy. It'll keep you from spending so much time consumed with hatred and hurt and pain. Here's a scenario. Again, I know this has never happened to anybody, so I'll just tell you what's happened to me. Have you ever misjudged a situation? I mean, have you ever seen something from one light, and you thought, oh man, and you just thought, this is, surely they're out to get me, they're out to hurt me. And so you spend hours and days thinking about this and worrying about it. And you had the wrong interpretation of the situation. Nobody was out to get you. Nobody was trying to hurt you. Nobody was trying to do anything to you. But you took the scenario you had and you ran with it and you thought, all right, well, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. You know, if you'll respond like Jesus Christ says to respond, it'll protect you from misjudged situations where you start thinking about, I need to do this, I need to do that, I'm going to get them back. You know, they may not have had any ill intent at all. Follow good as a partaker of God's divine nature. He says, love your enemies. I think of the missionary there, and I don't use his name, I don't know if we can, but over in Vietnam, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. No, to bless is to speak well of them, or as well as you can. I mean, you don't have to always hype them up, but you can avoid saying negative things about people. I appreciate some of the guys I meet in the ministry and even talking to the folks that came down. They're still here. The Seminole String Band, we're talking with them Friday. And oh, I appreciate guys who don't name drop other people and talk about how bad that church was or bad that or how bad that pastor was and all that. It's easy to do in private conversation. I appreciate guys that will bless them that curse you. I mean, that will at least have something good to say about somebody else. Even if you don't like them, even if you don't, if they're not your best friend, but you don't go running them down to everybody. I've seen, I'll move on from that. But you get the idea. Follow good as a partaker of God's divine nature. He says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. That is so contrary to the way the world is. That's so contrary to the way your flesh is. All right, here's another thing. Look in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Luke 6:32, kind of the same thing that was said in Matthew, but there's a little more added to it here. Luke 6:32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good unto you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And watch this. This is the point. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That phrase before... That phrase is, your reward shall be great. If you want to make sure payment is made down here, that's what vengeance is. I'm going to make sure payback is distributed here and now. If you want to make sure payment is made down here, you can do that. Just know that God will let you take things into your own hands. And once you take them into your own hands, they're out of his hands. But if you want him to repay, if you want him to pay into your account, if you want him to make a payment, so to speak, on your behalf, he said, great is the reward, then you let God sort out the mess. If you take it in your hands, you're free to do that. And I think the Lord, he'll let you take it into your hands. But when you take it into your hands, he's, okay, it's out of my hands. But if you'll let him have it, the Bible says, great is the reward. Let him pay out the account. Let him deal out as he sees fit to do it. And I would rather it be in God's hands. I mean, when I think about it, I would rather it be in God's hands than leave it in my hands or to take it out of God's hands. So the second thing is, you follow good to gain a great reward. There is a reward for someone who will not deal out vengeance and will take things patiently. Third, this is an interesting one, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, Romans 12, 19. Here's the point. Let me tell you the point before I read the verses. You follow after good to overcome evil. All right, if you're repaying evil with evil, that means you're overcome with evil. Evil has its day, it's winning. But if you can get out of that loop and get out of that cycle, you can. That's overcoming evil, and he'll show you how that works. Dearly beloved, verse 19. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That's like, let it go. Let wrath go. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is victory over evil. Now, I'll tell you, I've heard all kinds of weird interpretations of heaping coals of fire on someone's head. I even read one where, or heard one a while back, where the guy said, well, back in the day, they used to carry fire pans on their head, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, who carries fire on their head? What are you talking about? I mean, who does that? It's pretty simple what it is. If I'm shoveling coals onto someone's head, they are under judgment. The fire is coming down on their head. That's what he's talking about. So you overcome evil. So the point of all that is not so that you can feel satisfied for shoveling coals on someone's head. The point is, this is how you overcome evil. And God takes he takes your response and uses it as a witness against evil in the day when judgment comes. He takes someone's good behavior, someone's good response to evil, and he uses it as a witness, as a testimony against evil when judgment day comes. All right, so that's how evil is overcome. I'll give you, say it simply here. I think this is simple. Noah built the ark. Noah's told to build the ark. He builds the ark, and he builds the ark because he trusts what God said, and he believes God, and so God tells him to build the ark, so he builds the ark. And the Bible says this, he condemned the world. Meaning God used his faithfulness as a testimony against the world that he was going to judge. The same is true here in Romans. God will use faithfulness, God will use folks who will not render evil for evil as a testimony against evil when the day comes to make judgment. It's a testimony. So God uses the work and the response of his children as a testimony against evil when the judgment day comes. Follow good to overcome evil. You overcome it, I mean, we talked about overcoming it personally. I mean, you apply that. We've applied that earlier. But you follow good to overcome evil. Now we get to the last thing, you know, and well, let's just turn there. Look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. It kind of goes along with what you just read. All these things are kind of similar. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. First Peter 2:19 says this. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? So, I mean, what's you do something wrong, you get dinged for it. There's no special, you know, applaud for that. What glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But, verse 20, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It is Christ-like behavior. That's what Jesus Christ did. I mean, you go through that crucifixion, you go through his life. Jesus Christ, when he begins his ministry, he's preaching, people are trying to catch him, people are trying to get him imprisoned, people are trying to hurt him, people are trying to kill him. Some people hate him, some people love him. Most people don't like him. The majority don't like him. Then he goes to the cross. He's betrayed by someone he trusts, Judas Iscariot, his friend. He's betrayed by a friend, hauled to the cross, beaten up. You read about the trial there in John. Yet he never reviles. He never fights back. He doesn't beat anyone else. I mean, this is, if you think about it, this is God in the flesh. At any time, Jesus Christ can wipe out anybody that's hurting him. I mean, he can destroy anybody's life that's hurting him. But he doesn't. He takes it. He takes the beating. He knows this is the plan that God has. He knows this is the plan that the Father has that would take away sin. You follow good to be like Christ. You know, what's interesting is verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called. This is what you were called out for, to be different, to not respond in kind, to not act like the world, to not cater to the flesh, to keep those emotions in check, and to act like God would act in a situation like that. Now, I'm not talking about breaking the law and stuff like that. If people need to go to jail, they need to go to jail. I'm talking about revenge. I'm talking about people that have hurt you and you feel like you need to hurt them back. Follow good to be like Christ. You know, revenge, in these verses, revenge is a way you and I doubt God. God said, I am the avenger of evil. I will make a judgment and I will bring every act under my judgment. And then we take it into our hands and we say, no, no, no. I'm going to bring it under my judgment. I'm going to deal with this. And it's our way of telling God, I don't trust you. I don't know what you're going to do, so I'm going to go ahead and deal with this. And God will say, okay, you deal with it. But if you deal with it, it's out of my hands. It's our way of doubting God. You see that in verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It's, you know what this is? On the other end of the spectrum, if revenge is a way you and I doubt God, then acting the way Jesus Christ is saying to act, or did act, is a way of trusting God with the thing. Let God sort this thing out. Let God handle this. You know, let me keep my emotions in check, because at the very least, I may be wrong about the situation. At the very most, I take this thing out of God's hands and I make it put it in my hands, and then God takes his whole hands off the situation. He's out. You want to deal with it? You can deal with it, but don't ask me to deal with it. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It's an act of trusting God. You know, Stephen is being stoned there in Acts chapter 7. At that point in time, he has run his course. He has done what he can do, and he's being stoned, and he asks the Lord to forgive him, the folks that are stoning him. Jesus Christ on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they're given a space of time to repent there. But that's the way you think about it. That's the way God acted toward you and me. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He didn't respond in kind. He didn't commit his wrath towards you the minute you sinned. What he did was he showed you some goodness. He showed you some goodness. And eventually, I think most of you guys here, you're probably saved. Maybe some of you aren't. But that goodness that he showed you created a change in your life. It is a supernatural act. It is overcoming evil. It is leaving it in God's hands when you don't pay back, when you don't revenge, when you don't want to fight and take it upon yourselves and react in anger and wrath and bitterness. And all that stuff, man, it will eat you up. But that divine nature of God, boy, he'll give you some rope. He'll give you enough rope to hang yourself, but he'll let it out. He'll give you some space. He'll give you some time. Show you his goodness. But he doesn't respond that way. He isn't consumed by the flesh like we are. We get hurt and we want to hurt. He gets hurt and they're hurt. Okay, I'm going to help them. They got hurt, I'm going to help them. I'm going to keep helping them. I'm going to keep giving them space. I'm going to try to help them. But there is a day coming where I'm not helping anymore. But until that day comes, I'm not going to react vengefully. I'm not trying to be vindictive. My punishment is not punitive. I'm not just trying to hurt people. It's judgment. But until that day comes, God watches patiently, just like he did for you in your life. He watched patiently. He waited. He tried to help you. You got saved. And then he's trying to help you. And we're still. But that's God's character. Jesus Christ, when he talks about it in Matthew 5, he's describing God's character to you. That's why he said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is God's character. He's not revengeful or vengeful or vindictive. He's not about payback. And he asked people that claim to be his followers to be the same way. Follow good, first of all, as a partaker of God's divine nature. Follow good to gain great reward. Follow good to overcome evil, and you follow good to be like Christ. Don't be vengeful. Payback is normal, but we don't want to be normal. We want to be godly. As Sam comes and plays